David, what a beautiful hymn. Isn't it wonderful we can sing that hymn? His grace reaches me. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here on Wednesday night. We miss Mike, and Mike's been in Nashville. His father's put in the hospital, I understand, and we want to keep praying for them. And we're just glad, though, that you're chosen to come out today. And I tell you what, about 3 a.m. this morning, I woke up and got up. That's early in the morning now, isn't it? I don't know what you were doing. Probably all you're going to tell me, well, we were sleeping like anybody else ought to be sleeping. Well, anyway, I woke up. I had to pinch myself. I fully realized then that today made me my 84th birthday. Well, now, boy, I'll tell you what. Can you imagine living 84 years or the beginning of it? I am so thrilled. So I got to studying some and got to study for several hours early this morning. And I had some things that I prepared then. And so I'm going to use that tonight. And what a wonderful thing it is that we all are here tonight. And I just love you dearly. And I appreciate all that you do for us. I appreciate the elders and the deacons. And certainly I appreciate the wonderful work that Mike is engaged in. And Mary and the boys. It's just a great asset to us here. And we're grateful for that. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about Joshua. Over in the book of Joshua, in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, there's a statement made here that Joshua makes that I hope and trust and pray that all of us will take serious and that we likewise will make that same statement. Notice, if you will, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Who's speaking? Joshua. Who is he speaking to? The people of God. Why is he speaking to the people of God? Because Joshua's an old man. As a matter of fact, he'll soon be 110 years of age before he dies. And as a result of it, he wanted the children of Israel to understand something. And that was that God would bless them if they continued in doing the will of the Lord. But if they ceased doing so, the curse of God would be upon them. Now, therefore, in view of what I've just said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side. Oh, that right there we could stop. And we can analyze, we can see how that Joshua wanted these people keep their attention focused upon Jehovah God. The God that led the children of Israel. And he goes back and he relates some of the things that God had done for them. And then he says, and those that served on the flood, others served on the other side of the flood. And Egypt, and now he said, I want you to remember something. I want you, my people, to serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. Now the choice has got to be made. Joshua said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you about a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. However, notice what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you stopped and talked to your family lately? Have you talked to your family about the fact that one of these days you're going to be gone, we're going to be gone? What all have you told them? You know what? Since it was my birthday, I got to be with my family today, and I got to see them. We got to talk. And I'm so concerned about them now that these years are piled upon us. I want them to serve the Lord. If tonight we can talk to our family and we can urge them, just like Joshua was saying, now you make your choice, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Families are so important. We love them and thank God for them, but we're not always going to be together on this earth. And we need to know what Joshua's saying. Joshua said that was what he and his family were going to do. And God wants you and me to serve. He wants us to make a choice. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And notice that Jesus says to them, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ wants us to be followers. He wants our children to follow. He wants our households, our families to be knitted together and to be followers of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But now from your heart you have obeyed that doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want my great-grandchildren to know God. And I want them to serve God. In our dining room, when I was growing up, and of course I grew up with, there was 9 children in our family. And boy, I tell you what, as I look back in memory now, all of us around that dining room table in my mother and daddy's dining room, and I tell you what a thrill it was. And there was a plaque that was on the wall. I never will forget that plaque. It had on that plaque, Christ, our unseen guest. I wish I would have gotten that. All of my siblings are all gone except now one sister that I have left. Boy, I tell you what, there was a point that my mother and my father, they made a decision. That decision was that we would be brought up in the kingdom of God. They were so faithful to the Lord, they made the decision to serve the Lord. Joshua said, that's what I want you to do to the people to whom he was speaking. I want to suggest to you, my friends, one thing we need to do is to do what God says. We need to solve the problems in our families with the Bible. In Joshua 1, verse 8, thy mouth put thou, but thou meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Turn into the word of the Lord, this book of the law of God. That's what Joshua was telling these people. That's what we need to be telling our families today. We're only here for a little while. I'm working on a sermon with regards to the question, what happens to us the instant we die? What happens? What follows death? I want to preach that sermon. I really trust and pray God will help me, and as I understand the truth of the Lord, that we may be able to tell everybody. You know, when you die, you leave this world and you never come back again. Wow. You're not coming back. Wow. No wonder Joshua was about to die. Joshua's now ready to talk to his people, and he tells them, you look at the book of the law of God. Read, study it. What does the Bible say? In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even asunder soul and spirit of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the wonderful book. The book that God has given to us, out of which we ourselves will be judged. In John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The book's going to be open. For whom? For all. Why? Because we're going to meet the Lord. And what a wonderful thing to know. As the psalmist writes in Psalms 19 and verse 14, there the psalmist writes concerning that the thoughts of the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The wise men in Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them to put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The psalmist writes in Psalms 119, 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, I tell you what, we have been blessed by having people who love the Bible, who love the truth in our families. Many of you, your mothers and fathers, were so faithful. They studied the Bible. They learned the truth of God. Yes, one thing that would help us to make sure that we make the right decision to choose God and serve Him. Thirdly, be kind to one another. Kindness is so important. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I hear children today speaking to their parents in a way that's so degrading. Parents sometimes speak to their own children using words that make you shiver to think these are their children that they're talking to. Husbands and wives sometimes are rude, cruel, and hateful to one another. One of the things we want our children to do is what? Respect God. How do we teach them that? Well, the Bible tells us in this Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. Are you doing it? Are we doing it? Time is rapidly going by. Why, so much is so important to us to make sure that we train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. Fourthly, in making that decision with your family, pray together. I just enjoyed so much being with Tabitha and MJ, and today we had the occasion to pray together. The Bible tells us in James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What do you need? What do you want for your family? Let your family hear you express it to God. Let them hear you pray. Pray together. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1, verse 25. Yes, in making that decision, let us never forget, serve God. Let the family know you're going to serve God. Prove it by demonstrating your faith in God. And yes, pray together. And then the time comes sometimes when a child has done something that's wrong, sins, and he's had to be confronted with it. In Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and doing what? Simply forgiving one another. I find sometimes members of the church hold on to grudges. Sometimes they fail to forgive those who did them harm, but who asked God and them to forgive them. What condition? What is our life like? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know what? It's really something to hear a father say, I have sinned, children. I did that which was wrong and I'm sorry for it. I want you to forgive me. How many mothers and fathers, I remember a couple that came to me for some counseling when I was preaching at Southern Boulevard. Something had happened in their family and was tearing them all apart. They wanted it all to be resolved. And I told them one way in which it can be is forgive each other. You know, it takes a lot, doesn't it? But that's what God tells us. When we're servants of the Lord, and some servants of the Lord make mistakes, some sin, what are those who sin going to do? They've got to admit their sin and seek God's forgiveness. When a son or a daughter, a father or mother needs forgiveness, they need to be assured that they can find that forgiveness in that unity of a family. And then as they seek to be forgiven, walk faithfully in the service of the Lord. I love 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I've really enjoyed praying with Hollis tonight. Hollis and Geraldine, they mean so much to us. The good prayer be uttered before the throne of God for all of us. I want to tell you, it means something. It means something to the preacher, to the elders, to the deacons and the teachers. When we know you're praying for others. Yep, there's just so much that we could cover tonight, but there's an older man. He's soon to depart. His name was Joshua. And he said to these people, he said, now I want you to do something. I want you to make a decision. I want you to make the decision like I have made, because my family and I, we have made the decision that we will serve God. Someone wrote, too many miles behind me, too many trails are through, and too many tears help me to remember there's just too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain, too many rivers my feet have walked through, too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's just too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot, burning desert, and I've struggled the right road to choose. But somewhere up ahead, I see cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I just don't use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's just too much to gain to lose. Are you a Christian? What answer will you give tonight? That question, if you're not a Christian, don't you believe in Jesus? Won't you tonight repent, confess, and be buried through Lord and baptism? If you're a child of God, you're not ready for eternity, won't you deny? Won't you deny to confess your faults? Ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. Yes, here's Joshua. Those immortal words coming forth from a man that had been so faithful in his service to God. Joshua could say, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If we can help you tonight anyway, won't you obey God while together we stand and while we sing?